Before Columbus, this region was not empty. It was not waiting. It was not lost. Across the Greater and Lesser Antilles, entire civilizations lived with systems, memory, and meaning. They farmed the land. They mapped the sea. They buried their dead with ceremony and intention. They told stories that explained where the world came from and how people were supposed to live inside it. Then history hit reset. Most of what the world thinks it knows about the Caribbean starts in 1492. Everything before that is treated like a prologue, optional, disposable. But that erasure was not accidental. It was necessary. You cannot claim a land unless you first convince yourself no one truly owned it. This episode is about the world that existed before conquest, not as myth, not as folklore, as lived reality. And it is about what happens when a civilization is stripped of its voice, its record, and its right to be remembered. This is our history, and it begins long before the ships appeared on the horizon. Chapter 1, The World That Already Existed. Long before European ships cut across the Atlantic, the Caribbean was alive with movement. Canoes crossed open water between islands. Trade routes linked communities across hundreds of miles of sea. The ocean was not a wall. It was a road. Archaeological evidence shows human settlement in the Caribbean stretching back thousands of years. The earliest known groups arrived from the northern coast of South America, moving island by island through the Lesser Antilles and into the Greater Antilles. These were not accidental drifters. They were navigators who understood currents, winds, and stars. Over time, distinct societies formed. Among the most well-known were the Taino of the Greater Antilles and the Kalinago of the Lesser Antilles. But they were not alone. Earlier groups laid foundations that later cultures built upon. Each wave brought new tools, new crops, and new ways of organizing life. Villages were carefully planned. Homes were arranged around central spaces used for ceremony and decision-making. Leadership existed, but it was not absolute rule. Authority was often tied to responsibility, lineage, and spiritual role. Power was not separate from community. Agriculture was advanced and adaptive. Crops like cassava, maize, sweet potato, and peppers were cultivated using techniques suited to island ecosystems. Cassava processing removed toxins through complex methods passed down through generations. This was not trial and error. It was knowledge refined over centuries. Fishing and hunting were integrated into daily life. Nets, traps, and spears were designed for specific environments. Coastal reefs, rivers, and forests were managed, not stripped. These societies understood limits because survival demanded it. Spiritual belief was woven into everything. The natural world was alive with meaning. Mountains, caves, trees, and water held power. Ancestral spirits were present, not distant. Rituals marked birth, death, planting, and conflict. Memory was sacred. Trade connected islands culturally and economically. Stone tools, pottery styles, shells, and ornaments moved across regions. Language families spread, ideas spread. Identity was not isolated to one island. The Caribbean was already a network. This was not a silent place. It was a speaking world, and it functioned. Which raises the question history rarely asks. How does a world this organized disappear so completely from the record? Chapter 2, Knowledge Without a Voice. One reason the pre-Columbian Caribbean is treated as vague is simple. These societies did not use written alphabets the way Europeans did. Their history lived in memory, ritual, and oral transmission. Knowledge was spoken, sung, and performed. That does not mean it was fragile. Oral systems are built for endurance. Stories are repeated, corrected, protected by community. But they require continuity. They require people to remain alive to pass them on. When Europeans arrived, they did not just encounter people. They encountered stories they did not understand and had no interest in preserving. Early European chroniclers became the default record keepers. They described indigenous societies through foreign eyes, filtered through religious bias and political motive. What they could not translate, they dismissed. What they could not dominate, they reduced. Words like savage and primitive were not neutral. They were tools. Labeling a society as backward made conquest sound like progress. Renaming islands erased original identities. Renaming people erased their authority over their own history. Even before widespread violence, distortion had already begun. Archaeology later attempted to fill gaps, but archaeology works with fragments, pottery shards, burial sites, tools. These can tell us how people lived, but rarely how they understood themselves. Without indigenous voices, interpretation becomes power. And power shapes narrative. For centuries, the Caribbean before 1492 was treated as a blank slate with a few scattered tribes. That framing ignored scale, complexity, and connection. It flattened civilizations into footnotes. The loss was not just cultural, it was epistemic. Ways of knowing were dismissed. Environmental knowledge was ignored. Governance models were erased. Spiritual frameworks were invalidated. When history is written by outsiders, survival depends on how useful your story is to them. And indigenous Caribbean stories were not useful. They challenged the justification for conquest. They proved the land was already claimed, already known, already loved. So the record narrowed, the voices faded, and silence took their place. Which leads to the next truth. If history begins by silencing a people, what happens when force follows? Chapter 3. Erasure as a system. The destruction of Caribbean indigenous civilizations was not a single event. It was a system. It unfolded through disease, forced labor, religious conversion, and social collapse. None of it was accidental. Diseases carried from Europe spread faster than any army. Communities with no immunity faced population loss on a scale difficult to comprehend. Entire villages disappeared within years. Knowledge died with elders. Ritual chains were broken. Survivors were absorbed into colonial systems. Forced labor dismantled social structures. Religious conversion criminalized indigenous belief. Children were raised without language, without ceremony, without memory. Erasure does not always require death. Sometimes it requires replacement. European narratives declared indigenous Caribbean people extinct. This claim served a purpose. If no one remains, no one can contest land, labor, or legacy. But extinction was never complete. Indigenous bloodlines persist across the Caribbean, in family features, in agricultural practices, in food preparation, in place names, in spiritual echoes that survived beneath imposed religions. Cassava bread is not a coincidence. Fishing methods are not accidents. Herbal knowledge did not come from Europe. Identity in the Caribbean was built on buried foundations. African survival, European dominance, indigenous erasure, all layered together. But buried does not mean gone. The loss, however, is undeniable. Entire cosmologies vanished. Languages fell silent. Names were replaced. The Caribbean we know was built on the removal of the Caribbean that existed before. Understanding this is not about guilt, it is about accuracy. This was the first great erasure in Caribbean history. And it established a pattern. If a people can be erased once, they can be erased again and again, which is why remembering who was here before matters now more than ever.